yourself a song to sing, and sing it till you're done. Yeah, sing it hard and sing it well. Send the robber barons straight to hell. The greedy thieves who came around and ate the flesh of everything they found, whose crimes have gone unpunished now, walk the streets a-screaming now. Greetings, 99 percenters. This is your host, Dr. Jack Rasmus. This show is Alternative Visions. Okay, today, of course, the big news is what the hell's going on with the stimulus negotiations? Are they finally going to get to some closure and get something to all the people who so desperately need it? You know, we're still well over 20 million people collecting unemployment benefits. And we're losing unemployment benefits. In other words, people are exhausting them at a rate of a million a week now for several months. So there's more than 20 million people on benefits and unemployed. There's probably 25 million at least unemployed. At least 5 million probably not getting benefits. Well, the numbers came out today. And what do we got? Well, they say they created 245,000 jobs. Well, that's way down from what they've been saying in recent weeks. So in other words, the job creation numbers are slowing down dramatically, but the unemployment numbers are not. That's a bad situation, especially since 12 million of the 25 million, well, 21 million on unemployment benefits, 12 million on benefits are going to lose those benefits on December 26th. Nice Christmas present. If they don't pass something here in an emergency basis to get through the next couple months, the next 90 days, which will be obviously the worst 90 days of the COVID. Yeah, 90 days, the worst. Well, it already is the worst. You know, this third wave that's hitting us now is worse than the first wave in March, April. Worse in terms of hospitalizations, worse in terms of deaths, which are rising rapidly now, let alone infection rates. The second wave was July, August, which was worse than the first, but this one is worse than the second. It's twice as worse in terms of infection rates than even the second, which was twice as worse than the first. So, you know, we're always showing signs of businesses being shut down again. Not totally, but that may come. California just announced going to shut down. Everyone's got to stay home. If the hospitalization rate and ICU beds available drop below 15% in the counties. Well, it's almost that in most of the counties already. So, you know, if the governor here in California stays true to what he said, then they're going to start orders to stay at home, except for just the essentials, you know, grocery stores and pharmacies and things like that. So California may shut down in a couple of weeks. And that's true in a whole number of states across the country. Well, that's going to impact jobs even more. And, you know, most of the people who went on unemployment benefits back in March, April, have exhausted them now after 6 months. You know, the U.S. is only the cheapskate country that gives people 6 months unemployment benefits. You go to Germany and places like that, you can get 2 years, 2 years of benefits. Yeah. So, you know, people run out of their benefits. And they're desperate. You know how many small businesses have closed permanently? I saw a conservative estimate, 3.3 million. Oh, but those people, you know, that own those businesses that closed, they're not considered unemployed. No, that's another big category that doesn't show up in these numbers of unemployment. Yeah, they're out of work, but they're not considered unemployed because they're not necessarily looking for work. And, you know, these numbers from the Labor Department, you got to take them with a grain of salt. Because ever since March, April, it's been clear that they haven't counted as unemployed those workers, those workers who are furloughed. In other words, they're told to stay home by their employer. They think they are employed. Well, technically, they still are employees of the company, but they're not working. But you see, the U.S. government method of calculating and defining unemployment means you've got to be out of work and looking for work. Well, those furloughed employees were out of work, but weren't looking for work. They thought they were still part of their company, which they were. But the Labor Department, because of its asinine definition of unemployed, considered them working. They're out of work. They're just not looking for work because they thought they had a job already. So, in other words, the government is grossly underestimating the unemployment numbers, not only because of this furlough definition, and they admitted it, by the way. The Labor Department admitted it, but didn't change anything. You know, they do that. They admit it. Oh, this is an error, but they don't necessarily go and change and recalculate anything. Yeah. And then, of course, we've got millions of people who had to quit their job, two-paycheck families, right, had to quit their job to take care of their kids, homeschooling, you know, remote schooling, that disaster. Well, if you quit, you're not considered unemployed. You can't get benefits, see, if you quit. Well, I've seen estimates that's 1 to 2 million more. So you get 1 to 2 million more people who had to quit to, you know, take care of the K through sixth grade kids, remote learning. You know, you got millions of people who were furloughed, who were considered unemployed. There's all kind of problems. You know, we Government Accounting Office just came out last week with a study here, survey, that said that the Labor Department jobless claims were flawed estimates of the number of individuals receiving benefits each week. Flawed estimates. Right? In other words, some cases underreporting what we're paid, in some cases overreporting what we're paid. They gave an example, in other words, of a person who filed for unemployment benefits and it took them 4 weeks to get the benefits, they would say that's four people. Right. So, you know, the GAO, Government Accounting Office, the watchdog agency, right, really came out with a scathing report on the Labor Department and the way it calculates. Right. In other words, it also means that hundreds of thousands, millions of unemployed had to wait weeks and weeks before they got any benefits. More than a month in some cases. Okay, so, you know, that's from the December 1st Wall Street Journal. If one wants to read that particular piece, I encourage you to do so. Okay, so the numbers that came out today, you know, are certainly show a slowdown in job creation, dramatic over previous months. The more reliable data is the number of people who are filing for unemployment claims. And that comes out on Thursday. That came out yesterday. And it showed, once again, over a million people. Another week of a million people filing for unemployment benefits. It's been a million people every week or more from the very beginning in March. Way back then, it was 6-7 million, right? But from August, you know, when this thing was supposed to be rebounding the economy, it's been a million every week. And out the other end, you got a million people exhausting their benefits starting in October. This isn't a good picture of a rebounding economy. Fourth quarter is going to be a real problem here. Fourth quarter meaning, you know, October to December, the one we're in right now. J.P. Morgan Chase Bank Research predicts a sharp slowdown of GDP recovery this quarter and predicts, given COVID and the lack of a stimulus bill, we could have a double dip, a actual contraction of the economy in the first quarter next year, January, March. Oh, this is the double-dip recession. This is the W-shaped recovery that I've been predicting since March. This is what great recessions are about. They always have multiple dips and slowdowns and relapses. They have a little rebound here and there, and then a weak decline and so forth. And we've had these before. The Great Recession of 2008 and 2009 was really a double dip. You see, that was the first crash there, 2008, and a little bit of recovery. And then in 2013-14 in the winter, we had another dip. But it didn't show up in GDP numbers. Why? Because in 2013, they redefined GDP to add $500 billion to it. And they've done so every year, quarter since. So the GDP numbers are really at least $500 billion less every quarter. I'm not going to get into all the redefinitions they did, but, you know, they added stuff that weren't considered economic activity and growth before to their definition. They changed the definition. I mean, it's the same as these numbers, unemployment rate, you know, 6.9, 6.7%. What a joke. Hell, you got 21 million people getting benefits. Not 8, 9, 10 million. You got twice that getting benefits, but they're still coming out with the 6.9%. Oh, okay. I'm going to finish up on this point. All I'm really trying to say to everybody is you got to take these Labor Department numbers with a grain of salt here, to say the least. It's much worse than they keep saying first Friday of every month when these numbers come out. A closer to actual reality is the unemployment claims, the new unemployment filings that come out on Thursdays every week, which show, again, a million unemployed filing for benefits every week. And then you got to add all the people who have exhausted their benefits, a million a week. They're not showing up in that 21 million total receiving benefits. They're not showing up. And then you got to figure in, well, people who dropped out of the labor force, they don't count those, you know, including, you know, the single family people that have to quit, right? Take care of the kids, including the furloughed that aren't counted. They're counted as employed because they're not looking for work, et cetera, et cetera. God, every month I go over this same picture here. And it's about to get worse with 12 million people, which gives us a segue to what's happening with this stimulus. What's happening? Well, we got three proposals being bounced around here. And they got to come to a decision before December 11th. Why December 11th? Well, that's when the government has a deadline to pass a funding bill for the federal government itself, to keep it open or it shuts down. So they're going to pass something on December 11th, including you know, a $740 billion Pentagon funding. That's just Pentagon. You know, that's not the whole defense funding. Pentagon is only part of the defense funding. Well, how's that? Well, because the expenditures of the military in terms of oil and gas doesn't show up in the Pentagon budget. That's another budget. And the overseas OCO, Overseas Emergency Operations, I know those actual military expenditures, that doesn't show up in the Pentagon budget. That's an add-on. And the expenditures for new nuclear weapons, that's in the Atomic Energy Commission. And the veterans benefits, that's separate, and the veterans. And then there's Homeland Security, which should be considered defense. That's separate, too, $50, $60 billion a year. Now, all of that is add-ons to the $740 billion. So it's about $1 trillion every year we spend on the military and defense. Well, that's got to pass by December 11th. They're sure going to pass that. Yeah. Okay, so whatever deal they come up with here, they got to come up with something by December 11th. You know, after that, the congressmen go away. So we'll see something, I predict, before December 11th. Now, what are the some things that are being proposed here? Well, you got three proposals. You got McConnell and Republican Senate proposal, $519 billion, which, by the way, has been what McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate have been saying since May. They haven't budged at all from that position. At the same time, the House, the Pelosi-Schumer Democrat proposal, has been reduced. You know, their desperate attempt to get the Senate and the administration, Trump, to move to pass some sort of stimulus bill, the Democrats have reduced significantly by trillions their initial proposals. Their initial proposals came out in the HEROES bill back at the end of May. Yeah, the HEROES bill, and that was $3 trillion in stimulus. That would have been a real stimulus, you see, because the CARES Act passed March was just a mitigation to put a floor for 60 days under the crash, which it did. It would have been even worse. You know, GDP collapsed in the second quarter from March to June, 10.5% quarter compared to the previous quarter. You see, you can't fool around with this annualized number, 33%, 32%. No, that's nonsense. That's only if the collapse in the second quarter continued collapsing at that same rate for 12 months. So forget that silly statistic that the mainstream media pushes. It's quarter to quarter. You know, how did the second quarter compare to the first quarter? Well, it declined 10.5%. Then we had a rebound as they opened the economy in the third quarter. Well, that was up 7.4%. Now, fourth quarter is going to be much, much less, closer to 2. In other words, fading. The rebound's fading, clearly. And then, if you believe Chase Bank will actually turn negative in the first quarter. Okay. So the initial bill, HEROES Act bill, passed by the Democrats, was $3 trillion to try to really give a boost to the economy. You know, and that included a continuation of the income checks, the $1,200, you know, that were given to people under $100,000 annual income in the CARES Act in March, continuing that, continuing the unemployment benefits, both funding the state level and the extra PUA. Unemployment benefits. The PUA, of course, was for independent contractors and workers and gig workers and freelancers, et cetera, right? Of which we have over 10 million people in this country employed in that category. They never were able to get unemployment benefits before, but now they were under the CARES Act. And the HEROES bill proposed to continue that. That's that $600 a week extra. You see, if you're on state benefits, you got until August 1st, you were able to get $600 additional per week on top of your regular unemployment benefits provided by the state. And that's PUA also proposed $600 a week to these freelancers and gig workers and so forth until December 26th, and that runs out. The $600 supplement for people on regular unemployment benefits ran out at the end of July, but the $600 a week continued for gig workers and others, independent contractors. Okay, but that runs out December 26. All right. Well, the HEROES bill continued that. Right? For rest of the year, next year 2021, as needed. And it was help people get through this. It also provided hundreds of billions of dollars for state and local governments, which are going broke, by the way, here at the end of this year. Going broke. They're already laying off hundreds of thousands of public workers. Yeah, already, which is slowing down the recovery. It included, HEROES bill included paid family leave, paid sick leave. more money for small businesses significantly. I mean, that was a real stimulus bill. But negotiations since June run into this wall of opposition by McConnell and the Republicans in the Senate. They would not agree to anything. And then Pelosi and Schumer got sandbagged, manipulated, maneuvered, outmaneuvered in negotiations with the Trump administration and behind the scenes, the gray eminence here of McConnell. He's been a real roadblock. You know, it's been a hard cop, soft cop negotiation by the Republicans, right? Trump would play hard cop and, you know, then he would propose something, you know, look like he's willing to negotiate to some middle ground with the Democrats, and then he'd pull out. You know, that's what happened in August. Then he pulled out. But behind the scenes is always Mitch McConnell. Didn't matter what Trump had to say because he knew that McConnell would say no. So they lured Pelosi and Schumer into reducing their proposal in August. Lured them. And what did they do? Well, they dropped their proposal from $3 trillion to $2 trillion, Pelosi and Schumer. A whole $1 trillion, they knocked it off. Expecting, since they were given false signals by the administration, that, oh, well, then the administration would come up from $500 billion and try to meet them halfway. And they fell for that. Pelosi and Schumer fell for that, you know, and got sandbagged. And then Trump administration negotiators and Steve Mnuchin, of course, Treasury Secretary, he's in there, right, walked out of negotiations. After they got Pelosi to reduce it by $1 trillion, they walked out, didn't make a counteroffer. And Trump comes up with that bullshit executive orders. Remember those in August? Yeah, what were those? Right? Oh, he's going to defer payroll taxes. Workers, they want to pay the payroll tax to get more money in their pocket, not telling them that, oh, next year in 2021 they'll have to pay double payroll taxes because it's only deferral, you see. Yeah. And then he also reduced the $600 a week went away as a, you know, supplemental to regular unemployed. That went away, and he replaced it with 5 weeks of $300 by transferring money from the disaster relief fund. You know, only $44 billion transferred it. Now, that ran out real quick. And really, in some cases, it's, you know, some of the states just used that money that was supposed to be $300 extra, used that money to just continue paying regular unemployment benefits. A lot of people did not get their regular unemployment state benefits plus the 300. They got just the 300, you see. Those are games that states play with folks to stretch out their unemployment fund. So it really did not hit. You know, and then there was a proposal to recommend to governors that they continue the rent payment moratorium. You see, recommend. Most governors did not follow that. And then a 3 month extension of the forbearance for students paying their loans, student loans, until the end of December. Well, when they start having to pay again student loans, they're going to have to come up with that forbearance amount. It's not clear in the language whether they have to come up with that lump sum or whether that will be added with interest to their existing student loans. In other words, defer the impact for 3 more months, and then the impact's even greater next year, like the payroll tax deferral. Same thing. You're going to whack them even harder in 2021. So that was the negotiations. You know, after the negotiations broke off in August, after Pelosi Schumer got outmaneuvered and sandbagged, then the parties went back and forth, back and forth. You know, McConnell always at $500 billion, wouldn't move. Yeah, and then the Democrats at $2 trillion now because they had moved. And you know, Trump signaling, well, we're willing to provide even more, knowing that McConnell always would shoot it down. But that way, see, they'd lure Pelosi and Schumer to come down again. And once you come down in negotiations, you can't go back up. That's what's on the table. Everyone knows that. No one will believe it when you go back up. And, you know, that becomes your starting point. Well, this time Pelosi and Schumer didn't fall for the tactic. And, you know, they went round and round in September, October. And then a couple of weeks ago, well, maybe it wasn't even a couple of weeks ago, Mnuchin made his move to take money back from the Federal Reserve Bank. You see, in the CARES Act, money was given to the Fed, the central bank, to distribute as a foundation for loans to small, medium, and large businesses, and also to backstop certain markets. They call those special lending facilities. In other words, give the Fed some money, and the Fed would lend into those special facilities, like the corporate bond market for the first time ever. Municipal bonds support them. Broker-dealers, which are stockbrokers, in other words, support them. There were 11 programs, and four of them, Mnuchin said, no, I want the money back from the Fed. Give me that money back we gave you as seed money here for lending, because you're not using it, Fed. And that's true. The Fed wasn't. The Fed had money to loan to medium-sized businesses and to all of these markets, and it didn't loan it. It had $600 billion to loan to medium-sized business and these special lending facilities, you know, municipal bonds, corporate bonds, et cetera. It didn't loan it. It loaned, out of the $600 billion, it loaned $5.8 billion. Now, it's important to understand that Fed wasn't given $600 billion. It was given $195 billion to start the lending process. You see, when they say $600 billion, they really mean, if all the money got loaned out and you were able to use the $195 billion as seed money, you would end up with private banks loaning out $600 billion. So it really wasn't $600 billion, $195 billion, right? And the Fed, out of that $600 billion, you know, its Main Street program, as we called it, only $6 billion. And all the money the Fed was given, $195 billion, it loaned out maybe about $100 billion. Yeah. And the Treasury wanted the money back, $70 billion back, that wasn't loaned out. And then the money that was there for large corporations, you know. Well, why did the large corporations, medium-sized corporations, not borrow the money? Because they were able to go to private markets and borrow more cheaply with fewer terms and conditions attached to it than the Fed loans would be. Well, that was made possible because the Fed lowered interest rates to near zero. So they, corporations, go and issue cheapest ever. So they did that to the tune of $2 trillion in March, April since. $2 trillion. Well, if they got $2 trillion by floating their bonds in private markets, what do they want to borrow more from the Fed for? And worse terms, you see? That's what happened. So they didn't borrow that money from the Fed, and the Fed was sitting on this money, including money for PPP, small businesses. How much? $135 billion. $135 billion of the small business PPP program that was passed. Total $670 billion in March and April. $135 billion wasn't spent, wasn't loaned out. Why the hell not? You know, you got over 3 million small businesses closing, and they're sitting on $135 billion undistributed? Well, you know, you get $70 billion from the Main Street program, $135 billion PPP, and all so forth, and you take back total, Mnuchin took back $455 billion that was given to the Fed. Put it back in the Treasury. You see, the money that the Fed loans comes for bonds and stuff comes from the Treasury and is used as seed money to multiply it tenfold in loans if the loans are taken up, but they weren't. Now, in addition to that, the Fed does lending in general by buying back bonds, treasury bonds, you know, and agency bonds, in other words, you know, mortgage bonds, itself. That's called quantitative easing. $120 billion every month it's been pumping into the economy. Well, into investors, you see, and corporations, and banks, $120 billion. That's all separate from the $600 billion, you know, Main Street program, $500 billion here, $600 billion there. That's all separate. The QE program. And that doesn't really require funding from the Treasury. You've got to understand this relationship between Fed, the Treasury, and the Congress to really understand the whole picture for the bailout. Well, that $120 billion drove down interest rates real low to virtually zero, which enabled corporations to go to the bond markets and issue their bonds at a very, very low rate, very cheap, and raise that $2 trillion, which means they didn't have to go to the Fed borrowing facilities. Okay, well, that's maybe a little complicated here, but I'll be writing an article here on my blog, jackrasmus.com, in the next couple of days this weekend. You can go read, you know, the whole picture here of the Fed and the Treasury and Congress and so forth as we come to this end game in the stimulus. So what is the stimulus proposals bouncing around out there? Well, I described already, to some extent, the Pelosi Schumer $2 trillion, right? That would include a $1,200 check renewal, hundreds of billions for state and local government. I'm not sure how much that was still, but certainly well over $500 billion, right? It would include extending unemployment benefits. It would include keeping the $600 per week supplement, you know, and for the contractors. It would include paid family leave, paid sick leave, hundreds of billions maybe for hospitals and vaccine distribution and so forth. That's a real stimulus bill. I think it's $2.2 trillion right now, that picture. Well, that's still on the table. What's new is this bipartisan proposal, senators' proposal. You know, Republican senators have gotten together with the Democrats and sent some of the centrist Democrats and come up with a new alternative proposal of $908 billion. This occurred last week. Republican senators from West Virginia, Ohio, Susan Collins from Maine, Romney leading the show here, right? Breaking from McConnell's hard line. No, we only got $519 billion. That's all you're going to get. And by the way, as I described, $455 billion of the $519 billion is money that was taken back from the Federal Reserve, you see. That was negotiated, of course, by the Democrats in the CARES Act last March, April. So, in effect, $455 billion, same as $519 billion, you know, what McConnell is telling the Democrats is that we'll give you what we already gave you. You see, we already gave you that $455 billion into the Fed. We're going to take that back and give it to you again as part of our negotiation. That's all we're going to give you. You know, the Democrats thought, well, that money was in the Fed, and when Biden comes in, he can encourage and pressure the Fed to actually spend it, you know, to use it to bail out the states and local governments, which the Fed did not do with that money, right? Yeah, that's what they were going to do. But Mnuchin outmaneuvered them, took the money back, and really gave it to McConnell. In essence, McConnell. And that's what McConnell's using for his negotiations, right? We're going to give you what we already gave you. Yeah, that's the way they negotiate. Oh, and the Democrats jumped up and down and said, oh, that's bad, that's bad. You can't do that. That's not good faith bargaining. Well, since when did Republicans, McConnell and Trump and any of those those characters ever negotiate in good faith with anybody. Don't be so naive, Democrats. You know, you trusted them again in August. They sucked you in and didn't counter-offer anything, right? They tried to do it again, and now they're outmaneuvering you again. Yeah. Republicans play hardball. Democrats play badminton. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, what's in the $519 billion McConnell proposal? Well, there's no supplemental $600. There's not even $300 supplemental. It's only a one-month extension through January. There's no $1,200 checks. There's no money for state and local government. Oh, there's $288 billion for small businesses. There's some money for vaccine distribution. No, that goes to the pharma companies. And there's a blanket liability protection for all businesses here. If they didn't do what they were supposed to do and their people got sick, you know, notoriously the meatpacking companies were notorious for this. Well, they're off the legal hook totally, right? That's the number one proposal that McConnell wants. And money for PPP small businesses, again, $288. Well, $135 billion of that. $288 billion was already allocated, you see, but not spent. Okay, so that's the McConnell proposal, $519 billion versus the Pelosi-Schumer, $2 trillion. And now we have this $908 billion compromise here, bipartisan, as they say, in the Senate. Well, what's involved in that? Well, in that, they're providing $160 billion for state and local governments, emergency funding. They are providing some money there, maybe a third or less of what the HEROES Act proposes, but there's some money there. There is some money for the extended unemployment benefits, $180 billion. Those PUA benefits would be reduced to $300 per week for 90 days. See, McConnell's proposal is 30 days. Bipartisan is 90 days. Pelosi Schumer, as long as necessary. All right. There's no $1,200 checks in this bipartisan proposal. $1,200 checks. There is a liability relief for businesses, but only for 90 days. After that, the states would have to do their own liability protection legislation. Right. There's $82 billion for schools, and there's $25 billion for rental assistance. I forgot to mention Pelosi Schumer. I forget the exact number, but hundreds of billions for rent assistance. Well, at least there's something here, $25 billion for 90 days, you know, in terms of rental assistance. Now, we've got tens of millions of people about to be evicted, rent evictions, when the moratorium, what's left of it, wears off. People being evicted already, but it will be a total eviction picture here without some assistance and a continuation. And there's $16 billion for vaccine distribution. Okay, so, you know, $908 billion is a kind of compromise. And Pelosi Schumer said, okay, that'll be the starting point for us. You know, McConnell is holding at 519. The bipartisan is almost 20 that, $908 billion. Pelosi Schumer, $2 trillion. Pelosi and Schumer say, oh, $908 billion will be the floor. We'll start negotiations from sure. Yeah. You think McConnell's going to agree to that? McConnell won't even agree to the $908 billion. He'll look at something that's between $519 and $908 billion to support. You know, maybe you'll get $800 billion out of this. He really doesn't want any money for state and local governments. His argument is, that goes mostly to the blue states. What he really wants is more money for small business, PPE, and no liability. That's what he wants. And some money to distribute the vaccine. And that's where the parties are. That's where they are right now. So something will be negotiated, but I believe it will be something around or just below the 908 bipartisan proposal. It won't be anywhere near Pelosi. And the Democrats are saying, you know, the certain wing of the Democrats saying, we'll take the money now. You know, we should have taken what Trump offered. You know, back in October, he offered $1.8 trillion. And Nancy, you didn't take that. Oh, you know, there was nothing to take because McConnell would have shot it down. So all these naive Democrats, you know, from California, Andrew Yang, Ro Khanna, you know, all that so-called centrist left-wing Democratic Party, were actually naively pushing to accept the Trump proposal, $1.8 trillion. But that was just another setup, like in August. Yeah, you would have reduced your proposal even more to 1.8, Nancy, and then McConnell would have shut it down. And then instead of starting at $2 trillion, you'd be at $1.8 trillion. We'd be right back where we are. Yeah. Naive. Democrats are so damn naive. It's disgusting. Okay. So Pelosi and Schumer and the Democrats, you know, big pressure now to come to some agreement. And the excuse is, the justification is, oh, let's take what we have now, and then we'll come back when Joe gets in office in January. We'll come back and negotiate some more. Ha ha. You know, if you don't win the Senate in Georgia, those two seats, there's no more negotiations. What you'll get from McConnell is that, well, wait a minute, we just gave you $600-700 billion. Let's wait to see how that works, especially now that we got vaccines. Let's wait to see. You'll never get another proposal. That will be it for the stimulus. That will be it. You'll get 30 days, maybe 60 days now, to compromise in terms of the time frame. Term, you know, McConnell at 30 days and bipartisan at 90 days, you probably get a 60-day deal through February. Right? There'll be no supplemental checks. You know, you maybe get $200-$300 PUA benefits extra per week for 60 days. Business will get total liability because, you know, that's number one priority of McConnell. State and local governments, I don't know, maybe they'll get something, maybe they won't. That's what you're looking at. But, you know, this argument that, well, let's come back for a second bite, you know, not going to happen. And that's just an excuse to get the Democrats to capitulate. See, that's what this is. This is no longer a negotiation. It's a capitulation. I think Pelosi knows this, but she's got this centrist corporate wing, which Biden is in that camp, pushing for something, anything, now, to get us through. Instead of playing hardball along with them and forcing the Republicans to concede something more. Well, everything's going to depend on what happens in Georgia. I don't think the Democrats are going to win two seats in Georgia. I could be wrong. You know, could be turnout again. Republicans are kind of in disarray down there. Could happen, but I don't think so. Why? Because I think a lot of Republicans crossed over in Georgia and voted for Biden because of distaste for Trump and his antics. And I think those Republican votes for Biden will cross back and vote for Republican senators, you know, this Perdue and Loeffler, right? Two multimillionaires, by the way. Perdue, the Republican, it's come out, you know, he's made all kind of money on stock trades, taking advantage of the problem here going back to March. Yeah. But I'm not optimistic they're going to win. They got to win both seats, you see, to get 50 votes in the Senate. And then the vice president would break the tie. I think they may get one, but I don't think they'll get both. I could be wrong. But if they don't get both, then it's back to where we've been for 10 years with Mitch McConnell. You see, he's the big problem. Trump will flip-flop anywhere. But McConnell, he's like a rock for business and the rich. He's there. No, 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 no. Mr. No. Yeah. And then the Democrats foolishly thought they could dislodge him from his Senate seat in Kentucky. They spent millions trying to do that and millions trying to get rid of Lindsey Graham. You know, instead of putting the money into Georgia and supporting Stacey Abrams and the others down there who were really mobilizing folks, they could have won those seats in Georgia if they hadn't thrown away money in Kentucky and South Carolina. Could have happened. Well, that's backseat quarterbacking, right? Anyway.
Hello. Please leave a...
What we've got is very clearly more of a gridlock, which is what the Republicans want. Gridlock. Okay. That's the picture here. That's the picture as I see it with these stimulus negotiations. We'll have something to summarize by December 11th. I think it will be closer to $908 billion, not the $2 trillion, bipartisan proposal. They're working it out over the weekend. We'll see next week what it really is. In the meantime, McConnell's Senate, the rest of the Senate, has gone home for the weekend. But they'll come back, and they'll have to pass something by December 11th. And I think it'll be closer to $900 billion. It'll be liability protection for businesses. It'll be a pittance more for the unemployed. Maybe a pittance less than a pittance for state and local government. Maybe nothing at all there, right? Money for vaccine. There'll be something for schools, not much. And I don't think there'll be any rental assistance there at all either. And, of course, no paid family or paid sick leave or any of that. And no checks, no $1,200 checks. That's gone. If you're waiting for $1,200 checks, forget it. That's not in the picture anymore. And it'll be temporary, 60, 90 days. That's it. And then we'll be right back where we were, gridlock, come January 21st. Yeah. Okay, that's the scenario with the stimulus negotiations as I see it, and we'll certainly revisit it next week because we'll probably have something really to report on by next week here on this show and the economy in general. Okay, we're going to finish up a little earlier today because of that, and I'm out of here.